Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
All right. Well, we're very, very blessed to have Elisa here today. I was thinking this morning too that Elisa's given up having breakfast in bed in Adelaide with her wonderful husband, who has such a great name, Phil. But Phil's a great guy, and with Elisa's other daughter, Madeline, could have got breakfast in bed, but she chose to give up her Mother's Day weekend to come and be with us and to give up that time with family to be with us, as much as she's with family as well. But it is a sacrifice, so we don't take that for granted, Elisa. And look, Elisa is the third born child in six, and they just kept getting better and better and better. And Mum and Dad finally got it right and stopped with me. So number six, and my sisters would claim that they raised me and that they're responsible for who I am. So if you don't like me, yeah, you know who to blame. In all seriousness, I mean, there's lots I could say about my sister and her accomplishments and her achievements as far as being a wife, a mother, in the corporate sector, very, very accomplished in business in a variety of ways, and completing her MBA in the midst of all of that and all those things. But for me personally, there is few people, and I don't mean to say this arrogantly, that genuinely inspire me. And I say that because I'm close enough to them that I see their lives in the public as well as in the private, and there's a great congruency in that, that there's just what you see is what you get. And I think a lot of my desire to be a man of integrity and character, certainly to be a man of faith, has come from my sister and her husband, Phil. And they had to put up with me through my teenage years. They were my youth leaders and pastors, and I was a handful, and yet they could incredibly patient and so generous to a fault with me, and literally finance me. I mean, my parents have never had money or anything, and still don't. But so you know, when you split nothing between six kids, there's really nothing to get. But but it was my sister and her husband that just made the way for me throughout uni and role modelled so many things, and so have been and are one of the biggest influences in my life to be the man, the husband, the father that I am. And I don't say that lightly, and I stand here today testament to their role model, their lives, their integrity, their character, their faith, their generosity. And so I find it a real privilege to be able to introduce my sister today to you. And I know you're going to love her, so can we please give a warm welcome to Elisa.
Love you. Well, what a privilege. What a lovely words for my little brother. I tried to tell the ladies yesterday that I was the younger sister, which made Nat older than me as well, but... No, Phil. No one. Yeah, I had to repeat that. No one actually brought it. So yeah, he's definitely the baby of the family. I'd like to say spoilt, but we do say that. But he's actually wasn't spoilt much. Not much. But gee, the lights are bright, aren't they? And I like to see people's faces. Look, it is a great privilege to come and share with you today. Number one, it's Mother's Day, and what a great day. I never actually wanted to be a mum. I was happy not to have any children. I was a youth leader and a school teacher, and you know, I had lots of kids around me, and I was one of six, so figured, you know, there was no really extra need to add any more to the world because there was enough of us and enough of everyone else's. But, you know, I'm so, so glad that God in his grace knew that that was what was right for me. So I ended up, you know, nearly 21 years ago, had my first and have three children. And, you know, I would have to say that having my children and raising my children would have to be my greatest achievement, my greatest love and my greatest achievement. And, you know, as a mum, it's just such a joy and a privilege to watch your kids grow up and to see them. And this year is my first year as a mother-in-law as well. So that is very special. And how lovely for Eldon to have his parents here as well. So Steve and Carla, it's lovely to have you here. You know, about 10 and a half years ago, I was sitting in church on a Sunday morning like this, and, you know, we were in the praise part of the service, and I was singing loudly, as I do, as the ladies heard yesterday. And, you know, singing away, the music was really loud, and all of a sudden, I just felt God speak to me. I just felt this sense of God right there with me, and it just sort of caught me by surprise. And God shared me a couple of words about each one of my kids. And he said to me, three words about Caitlin. He just said, music, worship and ministry. And this was about 10 years ago. So the kids were, how old were you then? 11? 10 or 11? Yeah. Maddie was a baby. Our littlest one was a baby. And for Jonathan, God spoke entrepreneur and business. And for Madeline, who was a baby, I said, okay, God, what are you going to say about her? And God said, you know, you need to laugh with her. She needs to have fun with you. And that word for me was like, wow, you know. Now, God spoke that into me, and I sat down and I quickly wrote it down and I put it in my pocket, and it's just stayed with me. And, you know, when God speaks to you, we have a choice about what we do with it. Now, I could have taken that word and I could have said, thanks, God, that's nice. I'm just going to wait and see how you unfold that word, and I'm going to bless you and thank you when it's done. Or I could have actually taken it, heard the word, trusted that it was a word from God, and obeyed and acted on it. And what I chose to do was I, you know, sat with Philip and I said, honey, I really feel God's spoken to me about our kids. And he goes, wow, that's great. And he generally, that's great, you know, that's good love. And so what we did was that word enabled us to guide and direct our children down a certain path. So we invested into music lessons for Caitlin. We invested into the school that was going to be right to nurture an environment that would cause her to fit into ministry. We made a lot of choices when it came to choosing friends for our kids and helping our kids choose friends. It helped guide those decisions as well. For Jonathan, it meant that we invested into different things for him. So we, you know, when he wanted to do a paper round when he was, you know, 11 years of age, it was like, it's a bit young, but you know what? I think it's going to be good for you to understand the value of a dollar. So as an entrepreneur, I think he had more of us doing the job than he actually did himself, to be honest. Even his 80-year-old auntie would fold the messenger papers every week, and she'd be sitting on the carpet. Come on, auntie, get moving. You're a bit slow. Get moving. You know, but it was, and then he took a job when he was very young. Both Caitlin and Jonathan took jobs quite young. But it was within the plan that God had spoken to us for their lives. So when Jonathan, you know, in year 8 or year 9, he naturally won an entrepreneur's award for an idea that he had at school. We started to see the gifts and talents in their lives. So in Caitlin, we started to see an administrative gift come through, a gift for music and worship, and she would just sing and worship and write songs. It just came as a natural thing. So the word that God spoke to us was confirmed through their actions and through the gifts and talents on their lives. And Jonathan ended up, you know, at 14 years of age, he started his own online business. Now, if you start an online business, you've got to get products to sell. You've got to buy those products to sell. So guess who got to invest in his online business? But because of the word God spoke, we knew it was right for him. So literally by the age of 16, 17, when he got into uni, you know, 8 weeks out of year 12 exams, he started another online business. And just before he went to uni, he sold both of his online businesses. He was turning over a six-figure number in his online business by the time he was 17. And then he sold those businesses to go to uni. And it was great because it supported him through his first year or two of uni. It was awesome. But you know what? It was because God had spoken a word to us about our kids. My challenge to you is, what is God saying to you today? What has God spoken to you about your kids, about your workplace, about your friends, about your family? Are we listening to what God is saying to us? Are we hearing? Because you know what? God believes in you. God believes in the plan he has on your life. God believes in you being the parent of your children and raising them up in the ways of God. God believes in all of that. And you know, there are so many things that I think we miss out on because we just either casually hear and we go, okay, that's nice, or we just don't listen out for what God is wanting to say. And, you know, and when Phil said, Elisa, you know, can you come and do the women's chicks, compass chicks? One of those. I said, yeah. And he said, you know, would you mind speaking on the Sunday? And I went, oh, I don't know that I do the preaching thing. I sort of do the facilitation thing. But, you know, if God gives me something, then I'll share it. You know, and I felt God speak to me and say, it's time for a new step of faith. It's time for a new step of faith. And I believe it's for individuals here, and I believe it's for you as a church. You know, I'm just so encouraged. You have got a great church. This is a warm church. It's a friendly church. You've got energy here. You've got faith here in this church that I know is just, it's on the brink of something. When I hear what you are doing with the schools, it's faith. It takes a heck of a lot of faith for what you as a church are going to do for that 20,000 kids in a week. Do you know how phenomenal that is? That takes a, yeah, but you know what? It takes a heck of a lot to do that. You are one body of people with incredible faith. You know, and this morning I want to encourage you, what is it that God is speaking to you? In the Bible, we've got in Hebrews, I love Hebrews, where God talks to us. We've got the hall of faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abel. By faith, Joseph. By faith. There is so much. It's all by faith. Do you know you can't do that school's week without faith? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is understanding that our God will do it, full stop. Yeah. Our God will do it. Yeah. Our God will do it. And you know, when God calls us to do something, did you know he actually knows you can do it? He knows you can do it. He doesn't ever ask you to do something you can't do. We often look at it and go, oh my gosh. But, you know, when he asked the children to walk around the walls of Jericho, could they walk around the walls? Could they actually physically walk? Yeah, they could. Did it seem extremely odd that he was asking them to do that? Did it seem odd one time nothing happened, twice nothing happened, three times nothing happened? What God often asks us to do seems a bit odd, seems a bit unusual, seems a bit strange. But the result is amazing. Noah, how many years did he have to build that ark? Nothing, 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 nothing came. But when it rained and it rained and it rained, and what an incredible reward to his faith. There are people here this morning that you have been believing God for stuff. And you know what? He's going to do it. God wants to remind you today, he can be trusted. He can be trusted, and he needs you to keep stepping out. Keep stepping out. There are people here today that I know God is challenging you in your workplace, in your family, in your finances, in an area in your life. God is doing something in you and he's wanting to get your attention. I'm here today to try to get your attention to say God is trying to get something to you. Because the breakthrough that is around the corner for you, the change that is around the corner for you is profound. But what does it take? It takes action. It says in the Bible, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Notice it says he'd later receive as his inheritance. Obeyed and went. He didn't actually know what it was he was going to be getting out of that, but he had to go first. He had to step out first. And, you know, sometimes we're waiting for God to come and do the miracle. We're waiting for God to come and meet us where we are. And what God's saying today is you've got to get up and you've got to step out. You have to take the first step and watch what God does to meet you. Watch what God does. And later he received the inheritance, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. But it was trust in God. Trust in God. We can trust our God. We can seriously trust our God. You know, I was on the phone about 6 months ago, 8 months ago now, to a good friend of mine who's a pastor. He was just sharing some things about his church. I remember I was working back late at work. I was on the phone, you know, it was about 6 o'clock at work when I was talking to him. And I just sat there and it's like I couldn't hear him anymore. But I was just, all I got was this overwhelming sense of you need to be in Melbourne and you need to be in his church. And I'm like, and I didn't hear a word he said after that. I'm just going, it just hit me so profoundly. It was like, you need to be in Melbourne and you need to be in his church. And I'm going, right. Anyway, he finished talking and I was hopefully polite and yeah great. I let it sit with me. It was just, and it shook me because I'm like, God, I've got a brilliant job in Adelaide right now. I love my job. My husband's just re-established all his three practices and they're all now going really well. It took 3 years to do that. God, we're just in a really good place. God, Madeline's in a great school. There's no reason. We've got great family. Our house is, you know, we built a house about 8 years ago and it took 8 years to get it to where we, you know, probably like it, you know. There's no sensible reason to get up and move to Melbourne. No sensible reason. But you know what? It wouldn't go. It wouldn't leave me. And I said to my husband, just randomly one day, love, how would you feel about moving back to Melbourne, like living in Melbourne again? Because he's from here. He just looked at me like, are you joking? And he goes, yeah, that's fine. I'd do that. I'm like, oh, I've got to love you. You're just amazing. And he goes, hang on, why? And I went, well, I sort of feel like God's spoken to me, you know, about that we should be living in Melbourne. And we should be, you know, going to this church. And he goes, wow, okay. Well, if that's what God's saying, then we need to do it. And I just think, you know what? To get a partner like that is pretty incredible. But for God to speak, and you know what I love about God? When he spoke to me, it's like I just sensed that it was like going to be a 12-year process, a 12-year, 12-month, 12 years, whoa, a 12-month process to get here. But you know what? It took a step of faith where it was like, okay, we're going to agree that that's what we're going to do. So when people said, have you got jobs? No. Have you got a house? No. Have you got a school? No. Have you got anything? No. You know, but it's like within, once we decided that, yep, that's what we believe God's saying, trust you, God, to lead the way, then what God started to do was my job. They decided to, out of the blue, offer me a package and then say, but we'd like you to consult back and we'll fly you in to consult back to us. It's like, when does that happen? And my husband's like, really? And then, you know, I got another job that I can work anywhere in Australia or New Zealand. So I can basically come to Melbourne and bring my job with me. Who gets that opportunity? Right? And then, you know, we were looking around at houses and looking around in areas and nothing gelled. And then in one weekend we came over, we bought a house, we got a school and my husband got two practices to practice out of. When you decide to step out in faith, you step out first, God meets you. God meets you. And what I want to say to you today is, you know, what is God saying to you? What has God spoken to you? What is in your heart to do? You know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Today while you're sitting here, your faith is being developed. Your faith is increasing. When we exercise faith, and some of you, God showed me, some of you just need to start taking a little step. It may be, you know what, I'm going to give $5 more each week. That's a step of faith for me. I'm just going to take a small step. I'm going to go and volunteer for, you know, some of the school week to help them out. I'm feeling nervous or, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to fit in, but I'm going to go and do it. God's saying, just take a small step. Some of you, I really believe God's asking you to take a big step. I don't know whether it's in your careers. I don't know whether it's in your business. I don't know whether it's in your family life. But I think God's asking you to take a big step. What is it that God is speaking to you? What is it? Because you know what? Everyone that you look at in the Bible that took a step of faith, they did exploits for God. They did over and above what their natural ability was able to be able, they would have been able to do. So, you know what? You can expect God's blessing. You know, I love it when it says, let me just turn my very antiquated paper and notes over. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. Do you know when God speaks to you? You can confidently go in that direction. You can confidently proclaim what God is doing. Confidently. You know, so when people say, you know, what are you doing? We are moving to Melbourne. When we did not have anything to come to, we're moving to Melbourne. Wow. Yeah, right. Okay, don't get in their way. They're moving to Melbourne. You know, you can be confident. When you know God has shared something with you, when God has put something in your heart, you can move confidently in that direction because he will be there for you. He will be there for you. And it says, by faith the children of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came tumbling down. I don't know about you, but if I was leading those people, I would have heard a lot of grumbles and complaints along the way. 7 days is probably not that long, but it is when that you've got that many people. You know, often, like I said, it's not often the sensible thing that God asks us to do. Do you know it would have been easier for, you know, the children passing through the Red Sea? It would have been quite easy and more sensible to go to Canaan. But the very thing that was not sensible was the very thing that saved them. The very thing that defied logic, defied reason, defied a sensible way of living. And I know, you know, we've got to be careful. It says plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, we all run off and do crazy things, but this count, you know, when I felt I'd heard from God, I had to go and, you know, I sat down with my parents and said, this is what I believe God's saying, you know, and Dad's going, you know what, I don't like it, but I just, it's right, isn't it? You know, and there's wisdom in the counsel of others. But we miss out on so much because we choose to get consumed with the stuff that just creates space and noise in our world. Create a little bit of space for God to speak to you. Cut out some of the noise. Cut out some of the distractions and say, God, you know what? I believe there's more for me. There's more. I can do more. You know, it says by faith, Abel... by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Did you know you can actually do better at what you're currently doing in your workplace? You can do better than what you're currently doing as parents. You can do better than what you're currently doing in every area of your life by faith. By faith. Because you know what? He was able to do it by faith. He offered a better sacrifice. Not better than someone else. Better, in this case, it was better than Cain's. And God honored him for that. But better than what you could normally do in your own strength. And you know what? In our workplaces, we should be stars. In our workplaces, we should actually stand out as people that go, wow, that person, how do they do that? You know, I managed a team of 20 people up until recently, and the amount of times I'd wake up in the morning and God would speak to me about there's something wrong with that person. There's a divisive thing happening over there. This is happening, that's happening. And God gives us this advantage. We've got this massive advantage. Do we tap into it? Do we tap into it on a daily basis? When I first moved into my role, I was learning and development manager at Santos, and our department wasn't known at all. We were sitting sort of embedded in HR, and we had very little visibility around the business, and people were off all doing their own training, booking their own courses and paying squillions of dollars doing ridiculous things. So I just thought, this is not good enough. So I said to my team, I had a team of six at that time, I said, we're going to run expos, learning and development expos. We're going to go to each one of our sites, and we're going to do expos where we're going to set them up really well, and we're going to showcase everything that we do. My team went, no one's ever done that like here before. And I went, that's okay, because I felt God speak to me, you got to do things differently. And I felt God give me this idea. So my team, credit to them, they backed me up. And, you know, we had a lot of people around the business saying, that's not HR, that's not going to work, that's not going to work, that's just stupid. You're going to look stupid, you're going to look really dumb. You know, but because God had given it to me, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to push through. I'm going to push through and do this. Do you know they were a resounding success? It hit right across the whole business. Suddenly we went from a department that was not known to a department that everybody knew. And in fact, after our second one, we had, I don't know, 300, 350, 400 of the staff come through. And my staff sat down and I said, wow, that was amazing. And they went, can we confess to you? And I went, yeah, sure. We didn't actually believe that it would work. We just did it because you were so enthusiastic and we just thought we can't really let her down, you know. But what that did, because I'd heard from God about something to do, God put his hand on it, even though it was a secular workplace. And what it did was I was able to build so much credibility with my team. Do you know, after that, my team would go anywhere with me. They would do anything for me. But it took a stepping out and going, God, you've spoken to me. Therefore, I know you're in it. Therefore, I can do it. What's God saying to you? What's God saying to Compass? You know, in the Hall of Faith, it says by faith. By faith, by faith. Put your name there. By faith. By faith, Phil and Nat left their church where they had a position that had a lot of security to start a church with nothing. By faith, they did it. By faith, some of their friends joined them and they started a church that now looks like this. By faith. By faith, Nat kept working and working and working because the church couldn't support. By faith, Phil went and did funerals and he did personal training. By faith, they did that. By faith. Look at the result of what faith does. You're here because of their faith. You know, credit to you guys. A walk of faith is not easy. It's not an easy walk. It's tough going because you know what? Sometimes God doesn't do stuff quickly. I love that scripture. In God's time, he does it quickly. Gosh, take away God's time out of it. Just put quickly. You know, but it takes time. So, you know, by faith, put your name in there. What do you want to say? Take a minute. By faith, if my name was written in the Bible, what would I like that verse to say? By faith, Elisa did all she was called to do. Elisa impacted hundreds for the kingdom. By faith, Elisa used her gifts and talents and impacted the kingdom. By faith, Elisa raised three children who are serving God and using their gifts and talents. By faith, Compass, fill the blanks for me. By faith, Compass impacted 20,000 school kids over a week or two. By faith. And do you know what? When it's by faith, God does it. You know, he only requires us to be obedient. He requires us to be obedient and to act. And you know what? We can't do the miracle. He does. God does the miracle. But you know what? We have to give him the room and space to do the miracle. So you know what? I love this team that are going to work so hard. It's hard work. We step out and God meets us. When I stay comfortable and go, I'll wait for someone else, or you know what? I'll just let God do it. I could have done that with my kids. Could have said, well, God, you know, you'll raise Johnny up in business. You'll raise Katie up in ministry. You know, you'll do that, God. I'll just sit and wait. But, you know, there's a proactivity that we can enter into as Christians to enable us to actually help see the outworking of it. But God had to do it. God had, you know, I couldn't make Jonathan's business work. It's a gift on his life. I couldn't do it. God did. You know, when I was teaching him about tithing, I said, you know, Jonathan, you know, he was about, I don't know, he was young, 4 or 5. I said, you know, when you earn money, you need to give money back to God. Well, why would I? Why do I need to give it to God? I said, because God will bless you. It's a principle of the Word of God and God will bless you. So you give to God, God will give it back. We're sitting in church and he put his money in the offering, the cup went down, and before it got to the end of the row, he looks at me and he goes, so where is it? I went, where's what? He goes, you told me God would give it back to me. I said, well, not now. He goes, well, you never told me that. You know, but that week, earlier on, he'd lost his DS. That week, Someone just turned up at our house and said, I don't know why, but I felt to buy Jonathan a DS, a new DS. You know? And it's like, I said, Jonathan, do you know what that is? That's a result of you giving. Oh, that's pretty good. He quickly went, I put that much in and I got that. That's pretty good odds. That's a pretty good return, you know? But, you know, we've got to give first. We've got to step out first. And you know what? And it takes, you know, it takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith to do something incredible for God. And, you know, as mums, we can tap into God. We've got a resource to tap into where God can speak to us about our kids. He can speak to us, give us wisdom, give us a word for our kids, because God gave them to you. God knows their gifts and their talents and their abilities, and He cares that they're going to develop them. And I realise my time's up. It's gone very quick, hasn't it? Just in closing, I want to encourage you. You know, like I said, there are people that I feel God's calling you just to take small steps. Just little steps. Just give it a go. Give it a try. Do something that you haven't done before for God. There are other people, like I said, that need to take big steps. There's other people today that I feel like in the past you've taken steps and you felt like it hasn't worked. You felt like they're just, you felt like perhaps God wasn't there for you. You know, I want you to know today that God knows that. God knows how you feel, and he wants to meet you at that point. He wants to say to you, just take another step. Give me a go. Because God will never, ever let us down. We feel like he does sometimes, and I wonder whether sometimes it's our own expectations. But, you know, can I encourage you to just don't give up. Don't give up on what God's spoken to you. Don't give up on the promises that God's given you. Don't give up on trusting and believing God, because he's got something special for you. You know, and if you're here today and you actually go, you know what, I actually don't have faith in God. I actually don't really know God. I don't have a relationship with God. Then you know what? You just have to ask. You just have to say, God, you know what? You are my maker. You're my creator. And I acknowledge you, and I ask you to give me the faith that I need to live my life and be far more effective than what I currently am. Bring change in my life. God, I pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Elisa. Can we give Elisa a hand? It's good to see my influences rubbed off on my sister. Wow, it's so great to have you in church with us today. We're going to close the service now, and I know people might have to run off and get to lunches or things like that, but I'm going to throw my sister under the bus here for a sec. But if you would like prayer for anything that she's discussed here, whether it's to take a little step or a big step, you know, she may get a word from God. She may just pray with you and unite with you on that desire. And also, she just mentioned, you know, if you don't have a relationship with God, that's where it all begins. It's at that point there. Starting a relationship with Jesus Christ is the best thing you can ever do. And the Bible says that he's got a plan, a purpose for your life, and he wants to reveal that to you, and he wants to walk that with you and journey that with you. But I'm just going to pray in closing. But if you hang around, I just ask that you just respect what God wants to do here. If people come forward for prayer, then let's just, if you want to grab a coffee and hang out and grab some of the food, that's fine. Just do that down the back. But if you're going to hang around this area, could I just ask that you respect what God wants to do? We'd really appreciate that. But let me just pray in closing. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord God, that you are just such a truly amazing God. You are, Lord, bigger than what we could ever comprehend. And that, Lord God, you are a loving, caring, gracious God, that you truly desire the best for us. And, Father, that does involve us trusting you and taking steps of faith and desiring to hear from you, because you are alive, you're well, you want to speak into our lives, and it's up to us to listen, to be sensitive to that, and have the courage to be obedient and act upon that. So we thank you for this word this morning. Just pray that you would bless Elisa and Phil, Maddie, Jonathan, Eldon and Caitlin, Lord God. We just pray that you would bless them as a family and as Elisa has given up her time to be with us this weekend. Just pray that you would put a hedge of protection around her in the transition to Melbourne, Lord God, and as they move into this next season of life, as you've already gone before them, as you've already opened the doors and provided miraculously. It's just the beginning, Lord, that you are God, a rewarder of those who diligently and earnestly seek you. But, Lord, to the faithful, you show and prove yourself faithful. And as Elisa and Phil and the family have been so faithful over the years, as they've sown again, that, Lord, the days are coming where they'll reap beyond whatever they thought. And Lord, they almost feel like they don't deserve it. It's going to be that much. And Lord, I know that you will do that because, Lord, you know that it won't stop with them, that it will be passed on and a blessing to others. So Father, bless Lisa and Phil and the family. I pray a blessing upon each person here. We're mindful of those that can't be with us this morning through, whether that's illness or traveling, we pray that you would heal those that are sick, Lord God, and you would just give safe traveling mercies for those that are away this weekend. And I just pray your blessing. Keep us safe and may we have a great week, Lord God. Bring us safely back together next week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.